So it was lovely to see young brethren at the platform, so it's particularly pleasurable for me to invite Brother Benjamin to speak to us and give us those necessary words of exhortation.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you this morning to remember our Lord's sacrifice around these emblems. If you'd come with me to the first letter of Peter, I'd like to base our exhortation in what I thought was the reading for today, but it appears it's actually the reading for tomorrow. So hopefully, when we do our readings tomorrow, we'll have something to think about. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to pick up on just a little phrase that Peter uses and try and dig into what it really means for us. So 1 letter of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter writes, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, and a peculiar people." And it's this phrase, a royal priesthood, that I'd like to pick up on this morning and look at what this really means for us. And notice that it doesn't say we will be a priesthood in the kingdom age, which we will, but he says ye are a royal priesthood. Peter says to the believers of his day and to us that we are now part of this priesthood. And so we'd like to look at what this really means for us in our lives today, how we are to be priests and part of that royal priesthood. So we'll have a look at the Old Testament, the pattern that sets, the Levitical priesthood, and how we can apply those principles to ourselves. So if you come back with me to Exodus in chapter 32, first of all, we know that the priesthood came from Levi, but why? Why was it that the Levites were chosen for the priesthood? Exodus 32 is a chapter we know well, the golden calf. Moses delayed to come out of down from the mount, and the people made themselves gods. And Moses, when he comes down, of course, is very angry at what they have done, and the people are punished. Exodus 32 and verse 26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And verse 28. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And so Levi, and the tribe of Levi, is chosen for the priesthood because they separated themselves from the people, from the sins of the people, and they did according to the word of Moses, which came from the Lord. This is why in Peter, the next phrase after the royal priesthood is an holy nation. We are to separate ourselves from the people around us, from the sins of the people, as the tribe of Levi did. We must separate from that and do the word of the Lord. And that is why the Levites were the priests, the priestly tribe. But it's not only that. We don't just separate ourselves from the world, because our marker is not the world. We separate ourselves to God. We do not set our standard by the things of the world. We don't just separate from them, but we go to God. We set our standards by God's standards. It's the idea of the parable that Jesus gave of the house that which was filled with the devil. But the devil was expelled and the house was swept and cleaned and garnished. But it was not filled with anything else. And so that devil went forth, brought seven worse than himself. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. It's that same principle. We separate ourselves from the world, yes, but then we separate ourselves to God. There is that second step. And if you come up to Numbers chapter 8, this idea is built on it, with the idea of the Levites and the example we have from them. Numbers in chapter 8, verse 11. "And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering to the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron, before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine." And so the way that they were separated was that they were offered to to the Lord. They were to be the offering. We often think of the priests as the ones that offered the sacrifices, which of course is true, and we'll think about that a bit later. But in this case, the Levites were the offering in order that they may execute the service of the Lord. This is what set them apart. This is what made them separate, because they were God's. He says at the end of verse 14, the Levites shall be mine, because they were offered unto him. And this we know is true for us. Romans chapter 12, words we know very well in the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. This principle is very much applicable to us. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we, as the Levites, must be an offering to the Lord. We must be holy, as it says there, separate, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, just as it was for the Levites to execute the service of the Lord. This is our reasonable service, to be that offering, to offer that service to our God. And we did this through the waters of baptism. We promised to follow our Lord, to offer our lives to God in all that we do to serve him. But this is a continual thing. This isn't a one-time decision. This is a lifelong commitment. And so this is the first step, to separate from the world, to separate to God, and to be that offering to our God. But how do we then apply that throughout our lives daily? How do we be priests, part of that royal priesthood, on a daily basis? Well, if we think about the priesthood in the Old Testament, I think everything that they did can be broken down into three key categories. Firstly, they were to offer sacrifices, as we know, for the sins of the people and for themselves. They were to serve in the tabernacle. They were to daily replenish the oil in the lamps, the showbread on the table, and so on, the day-to-day running of the tabernacle, and they were to teach the people. Those, I think, encompass the roles of the priest, those three ideas. And so each of those three ideas applies for us if we are to be priests, part of Christ's royal priesthood. So we'll deal with these one by one. First of all, serving in the tabernacle. In the holy place, there were three items. Each of them had to be replenished on a daily basis, on a continual day-by-day basis. There was the candlestick, which the oil needed replacing, and the candlestick, but that was to be replaced every day so that the light never went out. The light of the candlestick was never to burn out. There was the altar of incense, where the incense was to be offered to God for a sweet-smelling savour daily. And there was the table of showbread, which we're told in Exodus 25, there was to be showbread before God always, always on that table. And so dealing with these one by one then, the candlestick. We know this represents for us the word of God that we have, and the oil in it is the word. And so we must be daily replenishing that oil within us. We must daily be reading God's word, be striving to understand it and living by it. It must be burning within us and never burning out. That light was never to go out, and so it is for us. Come to Matthew chapter 5 for some of Jesus' words on this subject. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are to have that light burning always, and we don't hide that light under a bushel. we set it on a candlestick, just as the candlestick in the holy place, burning always so it can give light to those around us, those that we come into contact with in our daily lives. And so we must daily and always continually have that light burning, burning within us and shining from us so that all can see the word of God being lived through us. And then there was the altar of incense. And incense, we know from Psalm 141, represents prayer. Let my prayer rise up before you as an incense, the psalmist writes. And so we must continually, daily, be offering that prayer to our Father as a sweet-smelling savour. We can't live this life alone. We need his help. We need to turn to him in our times of difficulty and in our times of joy. Luke chapter 18. Jesus again has some words for us on this topic. As the priest was to daily offer incense, Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so prayer, he says there, is the antidote to fainting. It is the solution, and it is how we can keep that light burning, how we can keep going through prayer so that we do not faint. And it is a daily, continual offering to our Lord. And then there was the table of showbread, which was to daily have the bread continually, always, before God, that the bread was to be on that table, which represents to us the feast that we have before us now, the remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice, which it is a weekly event for us to come here, but it is something that should be in our minds always. Everything we do, every day, we should remember the love that has been shown to us in our Lord's sacrifice. And come to Hebrews in chapter 10 for some further words on this, again on this topic. Hebrews in chapter 10, of course, in the context of Jesus' sacrifice, verse 12, it says, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And coming down to verse 19, "Having therefore, as a result of this sacrifice that has just been spoken about, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith," hold on to it every day, continually, never letting go, "without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is." In the context of Christ's sacrifice, he's saying we can't forsake this assembling that we are doing this morning together, because we must always be striving to remember this meal, this sacrifice, this love that was shown to us. Just as the table of showbread was to be replenished, so in our minds we must continually have this bread and this wine in our minds to remind us of who we serve. And so we have there the first aspect of a priest, this service in the tabernacle, that the candlestick was always to be burning, and so the word of God must burn within us. The incense was always to be offered, and so we must talk to our Father in prayer, and we must always have this feast in our minds. The second aspect was to teach the people. That was one of the roles of a priest, to teach the people. They read the law to the children of Israel. They helped them to understand it, that the nation would be kept in God's ways, would be kept holy and separate from the nations around them. We know this wasn't always applied very well, but the principle is there for us, that we then also have that responsibility to teach one another, to help one another, to understand God's ways, to apply them in our own lives, and to keep each other on that straight and narrow path that leads to God's kingdom. to keep each other separate from the world, that together we can exhort each other and strive towards God's kingdom. Turn back a few pages to Hebrews and chapter 3. In verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You'll notice a theme here, that each of these things is daily. There's no one time, it's not a one-off thing that we do, it's a daily process that we exhort one another to prevent any one of us being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin from straying from that path, that we together can strive for that kingdom. And then the final aspect of a priest was that they were the ones that offered the sacrifices for the people to take away their sins. And we know that Christ, again, as we see before us, has already done this for us. So we cannot offer sacrifices to take away sins. Christ has done this for us, and we remember that today. But that doesn't mean this principle doesn't apply to us. This is still a vitally important principle for the priesthood, for us to be part of Christ's royal priesthood. Turn over to Hebrews 13. We still have sacrifices to make. We've already read Romans chapter 12, that we must offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. But there's more than that as well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We must take on us his reproach and must try to follow his example of that sacrifice, must be willing to sacrifice ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him, as Jesus exhorts us to do. And continue reading, verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There it is again, that idea. It's continual, daily process. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we still have sacrifices to make. We still have that role as a priest to offer sacrifices to our God. And for each other, we must be willing to sacrifice our time, our effort, our energy for each other, for the love we have for each other, even as Christ has loved us. And so in those three aspects, we have for us how to live like a priest, to serve in the tabernacle in those three aspects that we've seen, to teach each other and to exhort one another, to offer sacrifices to our God, to and for each other, sacrificing all that we have, all that we are, to our God and for each other. And many of these ideas come together beautifully in 1 Timothy in chapter 4. I'm taking the verses slightly out of context, but I believe the principle can still apply. It is speaking in the context of meats, abstaining from meats, verse 3. It says, verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. But verse 5 and 6, in this context, I think can also be applied to us as creatures of God. Verse 5, for it is sanctified, the creature, us, are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And in those few words, we have all the aspects we've looked at. For it is sanctified, made holy. The word means to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. So it is sanctified by the word of God. The candlestick, that light that we must have burning within us and shining to all around. It's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. That altar of incense, that daily communication with our Father. And so, a result of this, we must put the brethren in remembrance. We must teach each other, exhort one another in the remembrance of these things. The showbread is all about remembrance of Christ's sacrifice. And he says, if we do these things, we shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A good priest, you could say, of Jesus Christ, part of his royal priesthood. And so now, as we take these emblems, let's follow our high priest and remember the sacrifice that he has made for us and the example he has given us to follow, in that he never let his lamp go out. He was daily in prayer with his Father, and he has given us this sacrifice to remember. He has taught us all that we need through the gospel, and he offered this sacrifice for us to take away our sins. And so, as we partake of these emblems, let's strive to follow our high priest, be part of his priesthood, that when he returns, he may indeed give us an answer of peace.